I just want to thank you for being here. If you're new with us, my name is Brian Lee, and this is my wife, Kimberly. I'm the lead pastor here at Element City Church. Just to give you an update, the Ecuador team is flying back from Miami right now. They've had a great week. If you've seen some pictures on Facebook and all the things that they've gone on, and in a couple weeks, we're going to hear the stories of how and what they did. And so it's going to be a really, really good time. And I am so excited about tonight because it's talking about one of my favorite things. So as we were preparing, I thought back to several years ago when I was young.
Really?
Several years ago when I was young.
I'm older than him.
I was driving back from Phoenix, and all of a sudden, things in the opposite lane were just annoying me. Like bright lights, and they were just really obtrusive, and my eyes, they were just like really bright, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. I've never sensed this before. I've never seen this like intense starring going, and it was like, it was blurry, and then it got sharp, and I was like, what is going on? Didn't tell anybody in the car. I was just trying to figure out now, like, road signs, like, how far can I actually read the road sign? You know, in like, okay, it's giving me directions, so how far of that was that? And I was like, so I did that literally from almost Chandler all the way back to Tucson, just playing, you know, being annoyed with the star lights and all that kind of stuff, and it drove me nuts. I'm like, this is crazy. Where did my vision go? And then I went to the optometrist, and he said, Brian, you're over 40. You need some corrective things to make the starry stuff calm down and your eyes to shred, you know, to shape the way that they're supposed to be so you can see what you're supposed to see. Vision is crucial. Vision is important. That's why it's crucial that you take that little vision test before they hand you a driver's license. It's crucial and important for companies to have vision of a target, what they're trying to accomplish, so they can get from here to there. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, and you guys have probably heard this, without vision, the people will perish or cast off restraint, wander aimlessly. So tonight, the scripture we're talking about is the Israelites were coming out of the desert, or going into the desert, coming out of the desert to the promised land. And they had some serious vision problems. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's read in Numbers 13. We're going to stay in Numbers tonight. Numbers 13. It'll be up on the screens if you don't have a Bible. Numbers is the first part of the Bible. 13:1 is where we start. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving you to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. Verse 3. So the Lord's command, Moses sent them out for the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of Israelites. Let me read number 3 again. All of them were leaders of the Israelites.
They were the leaders, and they were already given the land. So the next few verses, it really talks about when they were sent out for the 12 that were sent out, and they spent 40 days exploring the land. So we're going to jump down to verses 26, go down to verse 26, and we're going to read the report back. 26, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. Then they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. So what they did, they came back for the report, and 10 of them were like, yeah, so it is the land of milk and honey. But, get used to that word, we're going to say it a lot, but the people are powerful. The cities are really fortified. There's armies everywhere. There's warriors everywhere. It's too large. And we saw those descendants they were talking about are their enemies. You'll go in the other verses, there's the Hittites and the Jebusites, and there's a lot of ites. And the ites, all the ites in the Bible, none of them were super friendly to Israel. And these people were like bad to the bone. Think gladiator warriors. They even called them giants. And the Israelites were like, whoa. The 10 of them were no match for them. And instantly fear started amongst the people. These leaders spoke doubt and negativity and fear to their people. It will be too hard, it's too difficult, it's too tough. They made these giants, these obstacles, bigger than their God. They made these giants, or the things that they saw, bigger than their God. They didn't have the right vision. They were looking at the wrong things. Why weren't they looking at the fruit, the milk and the honey? They say that they had the best grapes there. You know, like Costco grapes. That you've got Fry's grapes where you're like, that's not a grape, that's a raisin. And then you've got the Costco grapes that are just big and bountiful and beautiful. Well, times that by 10, these are Costco grapes that they were seeing. But these 10, they did not keep their eyes on God. They did not keep their eyes on His might, His power. This is the same God that just parted the Red Sea for them. And He had a plan for their life. He gave them this land. He said, it's your promised land. But all they saw were obstacles. All they saw were literally walls. The walls were very large. They saw the people that were giants, and they were warriors, and they were their enemies. And they lost hope. They lost hope.
Church, we have to make Jesus bigger than anything that is in front of us. Anything that's in front of us in our lives, if it's an obstacle in our past, or it's a limitation that we have in our present, a challenge in our present, or a hurdle that we need to jump over, or a disappointment that has flattened us, we have to have the vision of Jesus. We have to have our eyes fixed on Him, no matter what might be standing between us or in front of us. Anytime we get discouraged or off track, lose perspective, or we lose alignment, is because we have lost sight of our vision of Jesus. Ultimately, we've lost sight of the sight of Jesus and His calling and His purpose on our life.
I feel like I gotta stand up. I got lots
Do
of
it.
Energy. All right. Now, not all of them came back saying the same things. There were two that said, no, wait, we saw something different. We saw something different. So go to verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. We can certainly do it. Caleb and Joshua, they were two of the 12. And he silenced them. He said, no, let's not even give oxygen. Let's not even give oxygen to what they're saying. We should go up and take possession of the land. This is ours. He had confidence and a certainty. Why? Because they were great warriors, the Israelites? No. They just spent 400 years in slavery. Was it because they had spent a lot of time, you know, in secret, training themselves how to fight and conquer enemies? No. They spent the last 400 years making bricks for Pharaoh's temple, for his pyramids, for his buildings. They weren't prepared for this. But Caleb had a confidence. He had an assurance because his God is the God who led him out of Egypt. His God was the God who parted the Red Sea, who gave them this land. He said, if God promises it, He's going to deliver it. If God promises it, he's going to deliver it. So he's like, we need to go conquer this. We certainly can do this. But the people's vision already clouded. Their sight was set on everything but, there's that word again, but God. So go to verse 31 and 33. But the men who'd gone up with him said, we cannot attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. Notice those words started with a but. Yeah, Caleb, thanks for sharing your, you know, land of milk and honey. But. The buts get us, don't they? These 10 people, these 10 guys, they spread the bad report and it spread like wildfire. Because that's what bad news does, doesn't it? It spreads fast, it spreads furious. Gosh, social media, everybody gets on a bandwagon and, you know, the sky is falling. And it happens like that. And notice how they called themselves grasshoppers in their own eyes. Listen up. How you see yourself is important. If you see yourself as small and insignificant, then other people will see that. Because that's how you will act. You will get in the habit of acting small and insignificant. And that's the way people will start seeing you and treating you. Because that's how the enemy works, you guys. This is no surprise. The enemy comes to kill, seek, and destroy your birthright, your inheritance that God has already given you. The enemy wants for you to see yourself as less than what he made you. He wants you to not think of yourself as the daughters and sons of a mighty, mighty king. Right. He does not want you to know that you are fully equipped right now to do what he has set out for you to do.
Amen.
That you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That he lives in us and works through us. But we sit there, I can't do it. And these are the reasons why. The giants in my life are too big, God. They're too big. That person, that hurt, that pain is bigger than you, God. We are filled with the spiritual blessings of a loving, loving Father. And yet we act like grasshoppers. The Israelites should have saw themselves as giants of Christ. That they are the chosen people of God. That this God brought the Egyptian nation, which was powerful at the time, to their knees for his chosen people. They should have seen themselves as giants of Christ, and yet they saw themselves as grasshoppers. The Israelites chose to believe and put on blinders that these obstacles in their way were bigger than their God. Fear, doubt, negativity. Those sound familiar to anybody? Having to wait. It makes us close up shop on God. We do not trust him. You know what? How about we do it ourselves? That's what the Israelites, we're gonna start seeing them. How about we just do it ourselves?
So let's look at Let's continue the story of how the Israelites are going to respond in this. We're going to be in chapter 14. This scripture just kind of just continues kind of our path, how we parallel the Israelites a little bit. So let's just read 14:1. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to the land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. The plunder word. I forgot where it was. Why are you taking this plunder? There we go. Wouldn't it be better for us to get back to Egypt? Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And then they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. So here they are. It's getting hard. They have some big obstacles in front of them, or what they think are obstacles because of what the words that they're listening to. So they start crying, they start whining, they start grumbling, they start complaining, looking backwards into the past, forgetting all that they had suffered.
Amen.
Have you suffered? That's why we don't look back into the past, and we always got to look forward. We start getting emotional. We start looking back. When we look back in the past, we get emotional. We start getting louder to drown out other voices. Other voices like Joshua and Caleb. Mm-hmm. They were glorifying the past, no matter how awful it was. Have you found yourself there? Mm-hmm. Glorifying something in the past, but it was painful. But you're making something of it that it really wasn't. Saying we should go back to Egypt, we should go back to slavery, ignoring that God had delivered them from slavery. Amen. They were choosing to go back into bondage in which God rescued them from. Rather, claim the promised land that God had just said was theirs. Because of fear and lack of trusting that God was the God that said he was going to do what he was going to do. Even it steps even more, you can probably align yourself with this. They didn't like the leader, so they said, we don't like the way this direction's going, we're going to go pick a new one. This is the icing on the cake, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. They are going to get rid of Moses. The one that God talked through a burning bush, selected, gave power to, worked through the plagues, the one that God anointed and appointed to lead his people. The one that God chats with on the mountain and plans and gives Moses directions and where they're going. The crowd wants a new leader. The crowd doesn't like what the appointed leader had to say or where they're going, so the first thing they wanted to do was just get rid of him. We're kind of that way, aren't we? We're a Burger King kind of generation.
It's not healthy for us.
Not healthy. Any way we like it, or we cry, we complain, we pick up our toys and we leave. Or we just talk over the voice of truth. We talk louder, talk stronger. Talk quicker. We gather people up in the mob of negativity or the mob of takeover. We just want to get, you know, take over, and we try to not go to God, but we try to go to our friends and people that will listen to us, that will hear us and join us. They may be joining you back into bondage or slavery.
Amen.
But Joshua and Caleb are going to give one more big try. So as Kimberly reads the scripture, listen to what's going to happen.
Joshua and Caleb, they start getting serious right now in verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us to that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with us. They are trying to get their attention. They're tearing at their clothes. They're pounding on the table. Guys, it's our God. He said this is ours. Their protection is gone. We will devour them. We're on the winning team. God is able. He is capable. If he promises it, he will deliver it. We have the one true God on our side. So you think with Joshua and Caleb, I got this picture in my mind as we're going over these verses, because we are so involved in sports, that it was like the coaches giving them, you know, the big rally team, like, we are team God. We're on the winning side. Let's go. And everybody gets huddled together, and you think that Israel would be like, yay, team God. We got little shirts. We're going for it. I mean, this God brought them out of 400 years of slavery. He can take down all these people, these obstacles in their path. So what do the Israelites do? It's not good. Go to verse 10. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. I don't think they got team God. They didn't get that. The whole assembly, they didn't hear the truth. They didn't have their eyes set on God's vision, God's power, God's purpose. Thanks for that, Joshua and Caleb. We've decided to stone you. That's bad business. Twice God had asked Joshua and Caleb speak the truth to his people. Twice God tried to get the Israelites' attention. Remind them that, hey, I'm the God, the mighty, powerful God, and this is the land I've given to you already. Twice he tried to get them to set their eyes on him, keep his vision and his plan, and instead, they rebelled. Church, 10 leaders kept 1 million people out of the promised land. 10 people kept 1 million people out of the promised land. Their doubt, their fears, their mistrust, their lack of trust in God clouded the vision, and they kept an entire generation out of the promised land.
You all yield influence. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again. Let it seep in. You all yield influence. If we think we're grasshoppers, we're grasshoppers. If we think we're children of God, we are children of God. It is so important what we see. I remember teaching Lakin how to drive. And it was actually a good experience. This is not actually a bad story. But I would realizing in my own driving is I would, because you're in the passenger seat, you see more. Because when you're driving, you're focusing on what? The road, right? Where you're supposed to. But it's so often us when we're driving and we see or we have the distractions, our phone, our radio, the cruise control, the Bluetooth, whatever, what I find myself doing and what I saw Lakin doing when she first started driving is where her eyes would go, her hand would follow. If it was left, there's a cute guy on the left side of the road, we would go into the left lane.
It's painful.
But I would keep on saying, honey, look straight. And I have a bad habit on long trips. Is that we're having a conversation with Kimberly, right? We're back and forth, and I'll look at her because I want to get feedback from her face on what we're talking about, but we're still doing 80 miles an hour this way. And she's like, Brian, just look forward. Look forward. So what we see is vital. What we see is vital. Because what you see is where you're going to end up. What you see is what you talk about. It's what you end up being. It's what you end up going. Look how different the 12 filters were of the people that went into the to view the promised land. 10 saw obstacles and walls that they thought were unsurmountable. 2 focused on the promises of that God sent them to do with confidence and assurance, and they were able to take the land of milk and honey. Vision, spiritual vision, optical vision is everything. Where you look is where you go. What you behold, what you hold dear, is what you become.
That is why we have to have the